Christ. Okay. What's up, people? It is the Rum and Apple Show. It is it is a Tuesday instead of a Monday. I had something lined up for you guys special today, but unfortunately that fell through. So here I am regardless, going to give you guys a show. Probably going to go for about an hour. And then I got a lot of shit to do. I got to get back to writing. As you guys know, I'm in the middle of writing. I guess this is a perfect time for personal updates for those who care. Right now, I'm writing a song about Payday 2. Don't freak out. I know I spoiled a big thing, I guess. But, I mean, I got a song in the works about Payday 2, Hitman, and Hatred. So that's taken a bit of time because I don't want to rush things. And I think when you're making a project like music, it's better to not take too much time, but take an appropriate amount of time. Because you still have to put shit out. So, you know. That's why that Overwatch thing kind of just got rushed out there. Just because I want you guys to see that, look, I'm experimenting with other things, and we'll see in the future. All right, PayPal, it's on the website, everythingisrum.com. It's on the YouTube channel, all those various sources and things you can go to. $5 or more, I believe Bearded Gamer and I worked this out. I think like $5 or more will give you some type of weird, funny, fucked up name. Bearded Gamer isn't here today, unfortunately. But we got gaming news, and, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I guess I could lead off with a couple things. Lawbreakers has been seeing some unsightly low player counts lately, and it's kind of just Cliff Bleszinski's fault, if you really want to look at it, from the promotional aspect to the marketing of the game to the type of game it actually is. I mean, it's a hero shooter, and the gamers have kind of collectively decided that Overwatch right now, at least currently, is going to be the hero shooter of choice when it comes to the first-person ones. I mean, you got what? Battleborn? And what? Battleborn shutting down. I mean, I'll get to that in a second, but, I mean, Lawbreakers, Cliffy B. Excuse me. Lawbreakers, if we want to get to the article, Lawbreakers has really had shit player base. It really has. The initial peak of Lawbreakers was a little under 8,000. But the game currently, it gets a little under than 200 players on average. And that doesn't sound great. That sounds like shit, actually. Sounds pretty terrible. But Cliff Bleszinski is saying a few things on how he wants to make Lawbreakers more successful in the future. He goes on to say, we certainly didn't make our share of mistakes with the game. And he goes, in spite of the mistakes, we're going to continue to update and iterate, and the reviews do not lie. And then that's different. It's very different. You know, that's a very different Cliffy B than I've heard on interviews that he's done, on just how he typically behaves. Because he's kind of a brash guy, and he's kind of a dick. And that's actually kind of what it leads into. He also says that his Twitter demeanor has done little to endear him to prospective players. And that's actually pretty accurate. It really is. Because he goes on to say, like I said before, I can be very cocky and very brash on social media. And realizing that, you know, we have a fledgling player base has been very humbling for me. And he says, I'll try to be less of a dick. Now, all right. Look. Being a dick is one thing, okay? I'm a dick to about a lot of situations. I have a completely inappropriate show, completely based, not show, but I have a completely segment based upon stupid shit that people do in real life. I mean, that's inappropriate as fuck. That's kind of dickish to do, but it's funny. But being a dick doesn't excuse the fact that you made a game that is just in the wrong climate. I think that's where Lawbreakers really falls flat because, you know, I haven't played Lawbreakers, so I can't take a personal account of playing it because, like a lot of other gamers, I haven't had the interest in of it, right? You know, I played Overwatch, and I went, oh, okay, I've played you before. And then Team Fortress 2 nudges me on the leg and starts dry humping my leg and goes, hey, remember me? I go, yeah, I remember. Stop it. Stop it, spy. Go away. Go. Give your heavy a sandwich. Get out of here. You know, and then I played Paladins, and I go, oh, a game that's exactly similar to Overwatch, except the company denies, okay, whatever, Overwatch clone, get out of here. And then Lawbreakers, it kind of falls under the same category, but once again, I haven't played it. I played Overwatch and Paladins, and I could see the similarities there, but Lawbreakers looks about the same to me. I mean, I'm pretty sure players of it could probably get the 200 of you. that are still playing might be able to give me a little insight here, because I've watched gameplay, but that can only go so far. You know, that doesn't, you know, I just haven't been willing to spend the money on it. But Cliff Bleszinski does plan to include free updates to keep players engaged while they come to, when they try to figure out how to get in newbies and some noobs. Like, I get what he's trying to do. I mean, he's just playing damage control. He's just a guy who's trying to save his game. That's all it really is. And, I mean, if you guys are sick of Overwatch, because I've talked to a lot of people who, not a lot of people, but I've talked to a fair amount of people who like Overwatch but don't like the microtransaction aspect, or they like Overwatch but there's aspects they don't like and you might be looking for a Switch. I mean, go ahead and give Lawbreakers a try. I mean, what's the harm? It's not like the game is overrun with fucking bullshit because there's nobody playing the fucking thing. Jesus Christ. I don't know. I don't even know. Am I feeling bad? Am I feeling bad for this guy? I don't know. I don't think so. You know what I think I'm seeing? This is a perfect time for me to talk about Battleborn 2, because I'm seeing a similar case play out. Battleborn and Lawbreakers are in a similar position because these are the ginge, red-headed, abandoned stepchildren of the hero shooter genre. That's really what it is. Because you got Overwatch and Paladins as the two kids that the parents love, which is the gaming industry. And then you got Battleborn, and then you got ginge Battleborn, and you got, oh, soulless Lawbreakers that nobody really cares about. And this actually moves into what I had to say about Battleborn. Battleborn, it's very public in this news. No planned updates after their next fall current update that's coming up. And the creative director has left. Randy Varnell has announced that he's going to be leaving to go to a different Gearbox project. And of course, I mean, do I have to tell people why Gearbox isn't doing well? I don't think I should. So I'm not going to. But Battleborn, nobody cared about Battleborn from the beginning. That's really what it comes down to. Now, Battleborn, once again, I haven't played Battleborn, but from the looks of it, from the people that have told me about it, I can only go by their accounts, but everybody seems to kind of have a general consensus of it. It's not bad, it's just that nobody gives a fuck. So that's one of those unfortunate things. So what's happening is we're going through the five stages of grief here with Lawbreakers and Battleborn. Now, Cliff Bleszinski, he's in the denial stage of the five stages of grief. He hasn't moved on the straight, just, you know, he's just admitting it and he's allowing it to happen. See, Battleborn has. Randy Varnell, however you pronounce it, apologies. But he's going, all right, I'm out this motherfucker. I know it's dying. I'm done. Here's the fall update. Here's some skins, you fucks. Here's some maps from Borderlands and shit. We're getting the fuck out of here. That's the final update. And now, don't get it twisted. The game's not going offline. It's just that it'll be sustained, I guess is the greatest way to explain it. It'll be sustained, but no foreseeable updates, no new stuff after the fall update. It's pretty much on its last leg. It's dying. And Randy Pitchford recently announced that 90% of the Gearbox, the devs at Gearbox are working on Borderlands 3. So what do you think's being worked on? I mean, come on, it's silly. But this is the five stages of like accepting death, straight up. Straight up, man. Battleborn is accepted to death. Cliff Bleszinski, he's kind of leaning towards denial, and he'll find his way. He'll find his way to the appropriate end. He'll move on to something else. He'll go on someone's podcast and piss off somebody else after this failure happens. I promise you. It's almost inevitable. All right, we have something going on with Fortnite. And this isn't really so much a big deal. It's just kind of, I guess, interesting in a way. So what happened is Fortnite was accidentally enabled crossplay between Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And some video games allow this, and a lot of them don't. And as we all know, Sony's been very public on how they don't really give a fuck about crossplay. They're really not into it. They really just want to focus on PlayStation, and that's not really in their eye line. And I get it, sort of. I mean, I can get the disagreements and the kind of hesitation to moving PC and console together, because it's a completely different animal you're dealing with. Because, you know, I gave it a great deal of thought, and I kind of got to change my opinion on something. I think that mouse and keyboard can play a role in gameplay ability, because you have so much more control over your cursor, rather than in a console where you, in console shooting, I've realized I've kind of had to strafe more and really adjust my sensitivity. With a mouse, I still got to strafe, but I can play around and get a headshot quicker than I can with the console. Now, maybe that's just me, but that's what I've noticed. So maybe that would play a factor, because I'm trying to think of how many people are like me, and then how many people are the latter, and then how many people in the other category who it doesn't matter, they can just smash regardless. So I don't know. I don't know if it would cause kind of a deficit in player skill, or if a video game would have to alter certain elements of its gameplay to be appeasable to a PC console crossover. See, that's the problems I find with, well, potential ones that I find with PC and console crossovers, crossplay rather. But console to console crossplay, I don't know, because I don't have the technical educational knowledge, but it can't be impossible. Clearly Fortnite was able to do it off a bug, so this is indeed possible, because the PlayStation 4 player named Precision was one of the five people remaining in Fortnite's Battle Royale PvP gameplay mode when he was killed by a player with a strange name for the console. He searched on PlayStation 4 and he couldn't find anything. Then he searched the name on Xbox Live, and then he found it existed on Xbox Live. And then it turned out that Epic Games referred to the crossplay situation as a bug relating to a configuration issue that's now been fixed. So this is possible on a technical level, and it really comes down to Sony is really not willing to go forward with it. And maybe because I haven't looked at it enough, but I can't make heads or tails of it. The only real thought I could have is that Sony just doesn't want to share player base. Maybe it could be as simple as that. I mean, if I think about good old-fashioned greed, good old-fashioned corporate greed, that could be it. Maybe. Theoretically. Sony could just say, no, we want people to buy PlayStation 4s or buy PlayStation products and play there and grow our player base. We couldn't give a fuck less about Xbox. But, I mean, that makes sense, but they're also competitors, and they also work together. I mean, Microsoft and Sony have worked together on cell phones in the past. So I don't see why. You see what I mean? It's a strange situation. Maybe it's just their video game department's being silly. That could be it. Or it could be a money situation. I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know. This whole crossplay thing is a bit of a headache to me, because I get why people want it. I mean, I personally don't care. I mean, I get why people want it, but I just personally don't care. But I do care about something. It's called Thimbleweed Park. Thimbleweed Park is cool as fuck. And the release date, it has release dates on the Switch, iOS, and the Android. And Ron Gilbert's retro point-and-click detective comedy Thimbleweed Park is coming to the Switch, iOS, and Android. And iOS is coming the 19th of September. The Switch version is the 21st of September. Oh, the Switch features optional touchscreen controls in addition to the standard button scheme. And the Android edition is going to come out October 3rd. I like Thimbleweed Park. I like Monkey Island. I like Maniac Mansion. I very much enjoy all these games. And this is very much part of my childhood, but it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that because Thimbleweed Park is definitely not my childhood. It comes from a co-creator who was a part of my childhood that I grew up with on his games. So I look at Thimbleweed Park and I look at it as a real good throwback, because that's exactly what it is. It's a real good throwback with a pretty good social awareness of what's going on. And what I mean by social awareness is, like, they understand what time they're living in. They understand it's not 97 anymore, and a couple things have to be different mechanic wise or just how do I put this, it just feels a little more updated. I don't know, maybe it's just my own imagination that I'm thinking this, but I like these games, and to see them hop on mobile devices, these are where these types of games can live the best, honestly, because nowadays gamers like me who were kids who played these for 4 hours at a time or 5 hours at a time, I don't think a lot of them have the time or the willingness anymore because they're a lot older. They might have families. They might have fucking responsibilities. So putting it on a mobile device or a Switch for that matter, giving it a save function and allowing them to come back whenever they want, I think that's smart. I honestly think that's smart. I think it's actually going to maybe allow for more sales. That's going to be good, man. And let's see. The only other thing that's really been improved on Thimbleweed Park is that they've added a hint system and a new dialogue option so the two main characters can talk to each other. So, that is true. So that's fine. That's fine. I got no problem with that. It's just Thimbleweed Park is a game I definitely do recommend. You definitely should go check it out. It's fun. So, you know, it is what it is. But, oh, God, I don't want to talk about this, but I kind of have to. It's about Duke Nukem and what's going on with Duke Nukem Land. Oh, joy, what's going on with fucking Duke Boring and Randy Pitchford. All right, well, I guess since we were talking about Gearbox earlier, we can move on to this. Randy Pitchford has been saying some silly things again. And I don't mean to be mean about the guy. It's just a lot of the stuff he says is silly. But Pitchford said the solution for the next Duke Nukem game isn't just about story. We can all dream up a story, he added, acknowledging that playing with that is going to be a necessity for any Duke Nukem game with a narrative. However, Pitchford believes the true answer for the next Duke Nukem game is there has to be something from a design point of view first. What? What is he talking about? Well, he's elaborating here. He said Duke 3D worked not only because of the character. The reason why we all love the game was because of the gameplay and some of the innovations that were in the gameplay. Since those innovations aren't innovative concepts anymore, you cannot trade on that today. Duke Forever tried and demonstrated what that result is. Wait, that doesn't make any sense because earlier he said he liked that game and said it was a good game. Although he could just be admitting that it's bad. He said we're going to need a new design paradigm, something that we haven't seen before. And then Randy Pitchford goes down to break down more core pillars of a potential Duke Nukem game and just a game in general. A video game is all of story, style, and design, where story is the premise, is the characters, who, what, why, where, and when. Meanwhile, style is the look and the feel. It's the art direction. It's the audio direction. It's how it reads basically as a style. And finally, there's design. Gameplay, that's the camera, that's the control, that's the input, that's feedback, and it's the genre. It's all of that. When making a game, you start with one point, and then you always tend to start on story. However, he doesn't believe that's where they should begin. You need to start with design because the correct Duke Nukem game that's going to succeed in the marketplace is actually bringing something new there, he explained. That's what made Duke 3D a success. That's what helped Duke 3D became on the map, the character, the story, the style, follow the design. Okay. Look, this is, there's nothing here. I just read all this. Okay, I stammered through a little bit. I'm stoned. Leave me alone. Look, there's nothing here that Randy Pitchford is saying that gives me any credence to any of this. None of this. I can't give a fuck about any of this. This is pie in the sky fucking hopes and dreams. Look, man, what are you going to hope for Duke Nukem? Duke Nukem is a one-dimensional first-person shooter. Then, yeah, Duke 3D's good. But truthfully, I don't know if we need another Duke Nukem game. I mean, what was the last time Duke Nukem even made sense going into something? Probably Bulletstorm. Because Duke Nukem just, honestly, he does kind of fit in Bulletstorm, just in a nonsensical type of way. There's really nothing here. I don't understand what Randy Pitchford is talking about. You know, at this point, can we just leave Duke Nukem alone? They've tried. They've tried. It just doesn't work. I really think, and it sucks because I like Duke Nukem. And as a fan, I'm saying, can you just stop? Duke Nukem is one of those things that had historical value. I don't think he needs to continue coming back. That's just really my opinion about it. And I know a lot of other gamers are probably going to disagree, but it is what it is, man. I just don't think Duke Nukem needs to come back anymore. You know, what can he do? How many pussy jokes can I listen to? I mean it. How many pussy jokes and goofy fucking dick gimmicks are we really willing to sit through nowadays? Now, if you ask that to a different demographic, you might have an audience. And I don't know. I don't know, Duke Nukem. Just fucking copy another first-person shooter, Randy. Just go copy another FPS. That's all you need to do, because that's what you're probably going to do anyway. That's what AAA does. Just copycat shit. But it's all good. I'm not worried about it because I'm not interested. And I'm not going to get it. Fuck that. But we got to move on. WWE 2K18, I'm going to go into it a little bit. I know a lot of other people have. I'm intrigued. They finally did a little bit to the expanded My Career mode that's been detailed lately. Now, there is one little hiccup I have. Did you have to call it Company Man? Why did you call it Company Man? Players can either be a Company Man or a fan favorite. Not a fan of that. Why are you calling it a fucking Company Man? It doesn't make any sort of fucking sense. I promise you. That makes no fucking sense. Just call him a heel. Just call him a heel. It's a wrestling game. The only people that are going to fucking buy this game are wrestling fans. They are the only people who are going to give a fuck about any of this wrestling lingo. They're the only fucking people. You can't tell me I'm crazy here because I know I'm not. But let's go a little further into it, okay? So the My Career designer shared insight into how the development team improved the mode over for 2K18. And what's going on here is at the end of each 2K iteration, we take a long, hard look at what our fans want in the future My Career offerings. The two things that stood out the most to us following WWE 2K17 were the lack of free roaming backstage and a shift back to telling a compelling story through self-created WWE superstars. I can't say so much that I gave a fuck about walking around backstage, but I definitely would like better story through my own created character. Because one of the major complaints I had was, like, you had the career mode, and then you had to create a new character to go into the universe mode. That was always kind of a pain in the ass. I always thought it'd be kind of nice if you could just go with your created character you got in your career mode and slide them all the way over back into the normal mode. Now, that'd be legit. You go into your universe mode and do your thing. So what's happening here is something I kind of don't like. So 2K is giving you two paths. You got Company Man, which is heel, or fan favorite, which is babyface. I don't know why they can't say that. It's fucking stupid. Probably because WWE hates the term wrestling and anything that has to do with wrestling. But going down the Company Man path, heel path, means you're all about helping the general managers, GMs. And it helps the GMs get what they want out of the roster on any given show. This involves conspiring with the GMs backstage, ambushing other superstars in the locker room or during their interviews, and basically doing whatever it takes to maintain the GM's power, both in the ring and backstage. Backstage, that sounds like a weird fucking gimmicky match. But the fan favorite path, babyface path, on the other hand, is earned through your in-ring work and performance. This route involves earning WWE superstars' respect and taking on different match types night in and night out. If you earn the respect, they'll start giving you in-ring bonuses for your matches and your promos. If you become the complete package, the guy who can walk to walk and talk like Steve Austin, John Cena, you'll be able to have your own customized WWE Championship or Universal Championship. 2K is also adding in a free roaming backstage. And it gives players a free roaming aspect to it. You can now move around, and you can now, instead of fucking around in menus, what it allows you to do, it allows you to walk up to people, or you can ambush people, and this is backstage. And they also are talking about they're going to expand on 2K17's promo system and make that better. They're going to give new animations and an improved combination system. Now, that's all well and good. Now, there are a few things that I actually really do like about this. Probably the strongest one is the improved combo system. Combos suck in 2K17. They did in 2K16. They've always sucked. They need to be fixed, and I'm very glad to see that. Now, the combo system, I'm assuming this could work into the catch wrestling style. This could work into the strike combo style. Maybe this work into the chain wrestling stuff that they have. We'll see. I just hope it's not more mini-game, quick-time, button-mash events. I got really sick of those. Just right out the gate. I got tired of him, man. But you know what? Being able to walk up to talk to a rival. So, for example, if I see Roshi's character, the Wolf, backstage. Ooh, that's something I do hope they do. I hope you're allowed to, once again, integrate your friend's characters into your career mode so you can feud or team up with your friend's characters. See, that's some shit that's going to make the game have more replayability, because that's what people want, for real. I want to be able to have my boys or Golden Steve Medallion from Baby Raptor, or maybe one of Baker's, whoever the fuck, maybe one of the listeners gives me a character download. I want to be able to put them in my game and play against them and show them that shit, because that's cool. That's cool as fuck. And the animations, yeah, that's going to happen. The promo system, it got a lot better, admittedly. The promo system has been one of the things that has been incrementally improved with every game. And I hate to say incrementally, because unfortunately that's the way I have to describe it. But it has gotten better. And I have no doubt in my mind that it'll get better for this edition. How good will it be? I don't know. If there's one complaint I do have about 2K games, it's like I've been playing wrestling games a long time. I've been playing wrestling games, SmackDown vs. Raw before then, No Mercy, WrestleMania 2000, WCW Backstage Assault. I even played the Simpsons wrestling game. I've played so many. Oh, if I could tell you guys the horror stories of terrible wrestling games I played in my life, that and terrible MMA games. I think I do a whole series on shitty MMA games. That'd be my favorite segment, because there are so many. There's so many. But WWE 2K18, it's going to come out PlayStation 4, Xbox One on October 13th. It's also going to be coming to Nintendo Switch, which is completely wild to me. I have no idea what the fuck it's doing on the Switch, but it's going there. It's going there. I mean, that's fine. Yeah, that's great. And there's not really much else to talk about in WWE 2K18 except, what, do we care about The Rock selecting the soundtrack? I don't give a fuck. Do I fucking care? I don't give a fuck about the music. The only music I care about is theme music when it comes to wrestlers. Okay, now don't take it the wrong way. I'm sure The Rock had great thought when he went into selecting the music for the game. I'm sure he did, actually. He's a very genuine person, at least from all accounts. So, fuck it. Fuck it. I got no problem with it. I just don't care about it. I do everything to ignore the music because it's not music I like. It's a bunch of poppy mainstream shit. I'm not down with that. I'm just not. But we're going to move on. We're going to go over into God of War. And God of War has been concerning me. I don't know about all the rest of you, but God of War has been really concerning. Okay, there's been a lot of changes. They got this weird father-son dynamic now. And God of War also features parenting choices for Arturus. And now it's Kratos, the dad. There's nothing about this game that appeals to me. And it's unfortunate because he has an axe, which is stupid. It's very stupid. It is very stupid. And I gotta be honest, I'm not even the biggest fan of God of War. I like God of War, like many of you. I played God of War 1, 2, and 3. Did I like 3? Well, no, because it kind of, you could have ended the game at 2. You really could have wrapped it up. But I understand why they made 3. They wanted some money. I get it, all right? But this new God of War, they got the parenting choices and shit. I'm not fucking down. I'm not down with that. I'm not down to be fucking around teaching this little fuck how to shoot and kill animals, earning archery bonuses. I'm just not interested in that. Not one fucking bit. This whole thing between Kratos and his kid, I don't care. I'll never care. I'll never care about something like that. And it really puts me off from the game, honestly. Now, there's the other part about the camera change. Because what is God of War known for? It's that big stretched back camera, and you got your chain blades, and you're running around. You're running around, and you're fucking slicing and dicing, and you're ripping people apart, and you're quick timing events to blam. You got a quick time event, press O to orgasm. I guess that's why they press circle, because it looks like an O. And now they got, the major change is the change from Greek to Norse mythology, and it's, you know, loose, but it is what it is. They did their due diligence. I'll look it up later and see how diligent it actually was. But Cody Barlog confirmed that the game's upgrade path is also going to be different too. So they're going to take away menus, okay? And what they're going to change it with is they're going to make it more fun. That's exactly what they said. They said they wanted a way to contextualize it more into the world and creating a system that was more fun. That sounds gross as shit. I'm sorry. It just sounds gross. And then they say the dwarven duo Brock and Sindri, I think that's how you pronounce it, they created Thor's hammer, according to Norse mythology, will be responsible for Kratos and Arturus upgrades. What the fuck? Why are you get? Why do I gotta talk to two other fucks to get my goddamn upgrades? Can I just go into my fuck? Do you see the problem I'm finding with this automatically? Now, the reason they are saying this is they are there, Brooke, and Sindri, whatever, they're there to help you upgrade as well as develop your combat perspective. Those are your new moves and your special abilities for the two main characters. Now, Barlog had also previously explained that the two dwarves, they tie into an overarching theme because they're in some type of family feud. And those, and Brock and Sindri haven't spoken to each other in 50 years. And they just complain about each other. And they blame each other for their loss of talent and abilities. I'm sorry. What shred of a shit do people expect players to give about this? I'm not even kidding. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be callous. I'm not trying to just blatantly not this give this game a chance. But it sounds stupid. It sounds fucking stupid. Why the fuck do I gotta go over to somebody else and get my goddamn upgrades when I could just press pause on my controller? You know, what's easier? Think about it, gamers. What's easier? Walking over to the goddamn person or having to have a conversation or a cutscene and figure out more about this 50 fucking year feud that's appeared out of nowhere. It's an Acme Insta feud. And then get your upgrades and probably have to do a cutscene or something and hear some kind of shit about their problems. Or if you just press pause, oh, there's my menu. Oh, there's my upgrade. Okay, I'm done. Let me keep playing and finish the story that I actually have to play through. You know, maybe it's a story about Kratos and his boy fucking wonder. And it's not as if that the God of War people don't understand this. I mean, Corey Barlog, he had said that a lot of people had been public about it and said this game is not going to work. And he said, well, if it fails, it does fail. So I give him that credit. I give Corey Barlog that credit because the team is standing behind their work, and if that's what they're doing, that's what they're doing. Now, the combat looks about the same. Unfortunately, looks a little Dark Souls-y. Just faster paced, and it doesn't have a stamina bar. Thank fucking Christ. The last thing I want is a stamina bar on Kratos. He doesn't require one. Just this whole game feels awkward. And I hate going by feelings, but it's not even feelings. You know what it goes by? It goes by what I've seen from this game, what the news tells me, what the developers, what the fucking game directors are saying to me. It just, none of it looks wise. And it's not that it's too different. It's not that it's too different. That's whatever. Different is okay. Different is fine. I don't mind different. What I don't like is different that seems stupid. And this is different that seems stupid. Oh, Kratos is back. Dope. That's what some people say. But most people say, oh, God of War. Oh, fuck. I guess they're running out of ideas if they're in a AAA Crystal Fortress, aren't they? Yep, probably. And then they go, oh, okay, so what's this? What, they changed his fucking blades? Fuck that. What, they give him a fucking axe? Are you kidding me? They fucked up the camera too? Oh my God, what's next? They're going to give him a kid. You got to lead him around. You got to lead him around and be Daddy Kratos. Oh, for fuck's sake, you're kidding me. Really? It all seems like a bad dream. It's like Vince McMahon waking up from a coma, and you got Freddie Prinze Jr. right there telling him all the bad news about his goddamn company. I mean, look, God of War comes out 2018. We will know then. All right, I'll play it. I will play it because I like God of War enough to where I'll put down money for this game. Sad but true. It's sad, but one of those true facts. I'm a gamer. I like video games. Love them, man. I love God of War for what it is and what it used to be. I hope this one does it justice. I mean, I know it's going to be violent. That goes without saying. You can't promote that to me because that's obvious. When you're promoting to me is the fact of all the shit you've changed, which I understand you have to, but when you're saying, you're a little too happy with it. That's all I'm saying, man. They're a little too happy with it, and I get it. They've addressed it. They understand there's complaints to it. They understand there's a lot of people like me who have my opinion, and I know there's others of you who disagree. But I don't know, man. I don't know. See, we're gonna see Kratos go up against more focused battles. That's what they're saying. When they say focused battles, making combat more personal and visceral, that tells me that the crazy melee large group of enemy combat is gone. We're not going to see that anymore. So that also tells me, is this even a God of War game? Or is it going to be a God of War game that comes out in 2018 for PS4 that's only similar in title, that has a kid who now has to be daddy of the fucking year? I'm unsure. My stoner sense is tingling. I don't like this shit one bit, man. I really don't. I can't fucking help it. I just don't like the goddamn thing. All right. But let's see. The next thing we can talk about is Toys R Us might be going bankrupt. This is very, I guess, this is news a lot of people knew. I suppose. I mean, it's been in local news for a while, at least in gaming news. This is about a week ago, so I'm surprised anybody who doesn't know about this, unless you don't read gaming rag shit, you know, then I understand. But Toys R Us is in a lot of trouble. It has to pay off $400 million in debt by 2018. It has hired Kirkland and Ellis Law Firm to help it out. And Toys R Us is seriously considering filing bankruptcy next year. Now, if Toys R Us files for bankruptcy, it's going to be just like Radio Shack, like Payless, like very similar to all the other physical stores that sell physical merchandise. And this is due to online shopping, Amazon Prime, digital products, digital distribution all across the board. It's a completely different system in place now because nowadays, why should I go to a store? Why should I waste my gas? Why should I deal with people? Fuck that stupid cunty cashier. Fuck that dumb motherfucker who don't know what he's talking about, trying to talk to me and sell me a goddamn mixtape on the corner when I'm trying to get a PlayStation. That's what they want to avoid. People want to avoid hassle. They want to avoid inconvenience. And that's what online shopping has given us. So it's no surprise that Toys R Us, any type of quote-unquote brick-and-mortar store, is going to be suffering and having a lot of problems. Even places like GameStop, and they sell video games, they're having problems. So it's just one of those more reoccurring things. Now, this type of thing is going to completely continue to happen, because the more we get into the technological digital distribution system of people never wanting to leave, and they're always just going to go Amazon Prime. What's the point? Why should I get in my car? Like I said earlier, why should I do any of this shit when people have access to, that's what I'm trying to get to. When people have access to click of the button shit, oh, I can get that. I can get that. And it's sent to your house in 2 fucking days. You're not going to go anywhere. Are you kidding me? Why? I don't even know why people are going out for food anymore. Now they have, one, they have delivery, so a lot of people don't. But it screams, to me, it screams at laziness. It's a little fearful, but I also understand comfort, creature comfort. I'm wary of creature comfort because I get concerned, because when I'm too comfortable, I think you get a little soft in your mentality. And I don't mean that in like a crazy way. I mean that you get a little, your reaction, your meter for bullshit, it gets a little diminished. You know, you kind of got to surround yourself with some weird people to kind of make sure your weird meter still works. I'm not saying put yourself in a bad situation. I'm just saying you have to go out in public every now and then to kind of see how the world interacts and how goofiness ensues. And how does this lead into the Toys R Us becoming bankrupt? It really doesn't. It's a matter of this type of stuff is always going to continue, considering we are in an age where we live in the future, people. We live in the fucking future. We got Japan and the United States trying to make gigantic battle mechs so they can fight each other. What the fuck? Seriously? We got Snapchat. We got Netflix. We're definitely in the future. Toys R Us, with Toys R Us being in the news with it maybe going bankrupt, that is the most surprising part. I'm surprised. I'm not seeing news. Toys R Us is bankrupt. Toys R Us out of business. Unfortunately, I see that in the future. Or I just see them closing a fuckload of stores. Hate to see it, but hey, man, I'm not going to lie. I bought something for my godchild. Guess where I got it? Amazon Prime. Got it cheaper than I would have got it at Toys R Us, too. Or at Walmart. Got it cheap as fuck. Got it sent to my house the next day. See? I even do it. I'm saying you motherfuckers are lazy. I'm in this circle too. I do it too. We all fucking do it. That's why this shit happens. It is what it is. It's the future, man. It fucking sucks. You know what also sucks? Fallout New Vegas originally had 3 playable races and was also originally called Sin City. Stupid name. I understand immediately why they changed it. Because the comic, because the movie, because a dumb name in general, because Fallout should never be have a subtitle called Sin City. Dumb. But Obsidian CEO Fergus Urquhart, maybe? He recently discussed the development of Fallout New Vegas and revealed that initially discussions were held regarding giving players a choice of a playable race. Oh, wow. Originally, we had this idea where players would be able to choose between 3 races, human, ghoul, and super mutant. He also said there were problems with the different items in-game working across humans, super mutants, and ghouls. It really had to do with how all the weapons and armor worked, explained the Obsidian CEO. In the end, Bethesda told the developer, well, he didn't say no. Bethesda dissuaded Obsidian from doing it. They said, and I quote, We would really suggest you not try to do that. And he also confirmed, the CEO of Obsidian also confirmed that the project was not initially known by Fallout New Vegas. It went by Fallout Sin City. That is a dumb name. And it very quickly got changed to Fallout Vegas. Then it became Fallout New Vegas. Equally dumb names. I mean, Fallout New Vegas, fine. Fallout Vegas, Fallout Sin City, pretty silly. Now your titles are getting silly, as if video game titles weren't already silly already. But, you know what? That's kind of... I get it. I get why it happened. Look, the most interesting part about this was the thought of having the option of playing as a ghoul or a super mutant. I don't mind it. I don't have a problem with it. And if they could have gotten over those development issues, it would have been all right. Because if they went the full mile and perhaps had given the super mutants, if they had given the NPCs a different method of behavior for every different race and didn't pull a Destiny on you where it was always the exact same dialogue no matter what race you were and it never mattered. See, I think those races have to play a specific part into that world. Because then it would give that world an additional layer of depth and realism attached to it. Because what is part of our world? Bias. There's different, There's different prejudice in our society. It's unfortunate, but it's a reality that we have to accept. It's true. And to see that in a game like Fallout New Vegas, okay, say because... Let's say that they're humans hate ghouls by definition. Generally, they do. So if you're a ghoul and you were able to select that race in Fallout New Vegas, well, how would certain people react to you? Maybe some people would talk to you, but they wouldn't trade with you. Oh, you're a fucking ghoul. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, fuck you, smooth skin. I'm going to shoot you and kill your bar and then take your computer and then... hack it and then open a door with the key card that you had. But I didn't. I decided to pick it anyway to get my science skill up because I'm retarded. You see what I'm getting at? Or if you're a super mutant and people have a totally different chain of dialogue on how they deal with you. Maybe they're scared of you. Maybe they give you lower prices. Or maybe you're like me. You just walk around killing everybody and you don't care about any of it because it's a Fallout game. You do what you want. So I walk around being a serial killer, stabbing people with John Cena melee attacks and knife wounds. And it's fun. because I get shit done. But that'd be interesting. That would be really interesting. It's unfortunate, too, because Fallout New Vegas is the weakest of the Fallout games. I played Fallout 3. I'm fine with Fallout 3. I definitely like Fallout 3 more than Fallout 4. I just don't like Fallout 4. Fallout 4 is just Call of Duty shooting mechanics. They fucked up the skill and the perks and the VATs. They really did a bad job. It was really a poor job. Regardless, it wasn't finished, too. It was Glitchthesda. It was dubbed the Glitchthesda that day, for me at least. There really wasn't shit to go about it. There really wasn't shit on it. Fallout 4 was trash. Now, Vegas wasn't trash, except in the earliest stages when you woke up and the guy's head would spin, or you'd have fucking horrible head glitches, or you couldn't save files, or your save files didn't work, or the mods wouldn't run. But that goes to any PC port. Truthfully, I'm not the biggest fan of Obsidian anymore. I used to like him. I don't hate him. I'm just not the biggest fan. Much like I'm not the biggest fan of Fallout Vegas. I just don't see a lot of merit with it. If we want to get on to some more things that's going on with BioWare, I'm a little hesitant to talk about BioWare because I don't see anything of merit. I just really don't, because BioWare's creative director is talking about Dragon Age. Oh, mind you, they're not confirming it. It's not confirmed, by the way. Okay, Mike Laidlaw. I have nothing against Mike Laidlaw. You got to realize I actually like Mike Laidlaw. Nothing against him. I disagree with things, as we all do. It's on a personal level, nothing against him. On a business level, sometimes I disagree, sometimes I agree. Whatever, we're human. Look, man, Mike Laidlaw went to Twitter originally when a Dragon Age fan asked Laidlaw about the events of Dragon Age Inquisition's final DSC, Trespasser. Mike, is there a chance that Dragon Age 4 starts before Trespasser, so Trespasser becomes AU, or is the DLC ending canon? That was from that's what the user questioned. Laidlaw responded simply, DA4 is not confirmed. Trespasser is canon. Okay. Laidlaw had said in a previous media outlet that there is a Dragon Age project happening. It is not confirmed as the fourth main game in the series. Many sites have run with the rumor. So that's really what it comes down to. Either he's lying, which he could be, and if he is, that's all right. We don't mind. We're fine about that. As long as you give them a good Dragon Age 4 and Dragon Age 5, which will be, because if you're going to do Dragon Age, you're going to drag it out. We're going to call it Dragging Age. It's not Dragon Age, Dragon Age. Because that's what they do. They drag everything out. Every fucking syllable. These boring cunts. And I'm not saying I hate the game, man. It's just, it suffers from dialogue vomit almost as bad as Metal Gear Solid. On a real level, man. I'm sorry. I don't need to know everybody's fucking life story when I talk to them. I know it's an RPG. I get that. Dialogue heavy. I understand that. But there are RPGs that don't force me to sit through everybody's entire life story to where I find out what happened to their father, what happened to their mother, what happened to their sister, and why they gotta do this. And then I get a quest icon to pop up. No! Stop it! Stop it! You are wasting my time. If it's not pertinent to the fucking game, stop wasting my time with it. Do not do that. Because you are fading my interest. My interest for your gaming, for your game's safety is waning very quickly. But look, man, BioWare is preparing a new Dragon Age. It will happen. We don't know when. It could be a prequel. It could be a spinoff. It could be a fucking collectible card game. Who the fuck knows what it could be? But it's definitely not going to be the one. You know, here's the problem with this. Whatever it is, it's not going to be what Dragon Age fans want. That's the problem. So this is bad news for them, really. Not for me, I don't care. But for them, yeah, it sucks. Because, guys, look, I mean, and honestly, even if you got Dragon Age 4, do you really want it now? Because you got Origins, you got 2, you got, wait, how many is there now? There's 3, right? You got Dragon Age Origins, you got Dragon Age 2, which was shit, and you got Dragon Age Inquisition, I think. If I'm missing one, let me know. I don't think I am, because those are the ones I played. But Dragon Age 4, I don't know. I haven't been interested in Dragon Age in a long time. The first one was fine. For the most part, it was fine. But by Dragon Age 2, I completely lost interest. And I played Inquisition. And Dragon Age Inquisition is a fucking bad version. It's a pathetic version of what The Witcher is. And that's really horrible to say. You know, it's just it's just picking up herbs. Oh, okay, now I got to go over here and close this fade. Oh, now I got this green thing in my hand. Oh, okay, now I could talk to you. Oh, here's a romance angle. Oh, okay, here's a side. It was just boring. It was boring. I had no motivation to continue playing. That was really the biggest hindrance that I found with it. I found no motivation to continue playing that motherfucker. And that's very unfortunate because a lot of people spent a lot of money. Straight up. A lot of people spent a lot of money on that game. I'm talking about a lot of people bought brand new, a lot of people bought DLC, and then there's a lot of more people who are dedicated fans to this fucking franchise that have been let down consistently. And I hope you guys aren't under any motherfucking Stockholm. You can't be under no motherfucking Stockholm, people. That's bullshit. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, shit, I was just on that article. My bad. Okay, we got some weird news here. This is a little awkward. We don't got that much time left, people. I was only going to cut an hour, and I'm going to stick to that today. So I'll get to the most pertinent news, and I'll get the fuck out of here for you guys. Let you guys have the rest of your day. Okay, where was it? Yeah, Friday the 13th single player has been delayed, and the game's been in the broken into multiple parts. What do I mean by that? Hold on a second. Illphonic has released a new update on their forums, detailing the status of development and the future plans on Friday the 13th, the game. The biggest news is the confirmation that Friday the 13th single-player component is going to be delayed after originally not releasing with the game back in May. It was originally set to release this summer. Illphonic explains that the reason for this falling behind schedule is wanting to focus on fixing up the core game before adding new content to it. Joshua Gertz, the executive producer, said that they now reached the turning point on stability and are now doubling down on that point in his part of the post he currently writes, and I'm going to read it out for you. We have hired additional people and are working with contractors and even diverted others working on other tasks to help. We've also decided to take a look at single player. We are breaking it into a number of different experiences that can be released independent of one another. This is this way. As soon as one thing is done, we can launch it without having to wait on everything else. And they have a nice little map pulled up here. I will. Can I show it to you guys? Yeah, I think I can. Let me see if I can show this to you guys. He shows to you, motherfuckers. Okay, you see this map right here? And sorry for those who can't. Here's that motherfucking map. Welcome to Camp Crystal Lake. And this is where we're at. We have the free clothing pack, Retro Jason, fast-paced maps, blah, blah, blah. There's going to be free emotes. And you see how it progresses down the line. Then there's a Halloween pumpkin. Oh, nice. And then there's a Christmas. Oh, how nice. And then way at the bottom here, we're single player. New game mode. Right here. Where's single player? New kills, new clothing. Here it is. Single player challenges demo. I wonder what that means. The new game mode, single player challenges. See, I'm a little concerned about that because I'm wondering what the single player is. I'm wondering what the single player is actually going to function like. Is it going to be the game just with bots? If it is, okay. But maybe they'll have a little bit of a story to it. I don't know. That's really fucking peculiar. I like the way they've kind of put this out. And what I mean by that, it's kind of just direct. They've kind of just shown you the trail of what's going to come out. So, I mean, that's fine in its own way. That's all right. But that's pretty much what's going on. I mean, the single player's been delayed, and they kind of showed you the map of what's going on and how long it's going to be to come out. And it's going to take a while. It's going to be winter by the time that comes out because there's a little snowflake. So definitely going to be some fucking problems on that motherfucker. Oh, God. I'm not into it at all, man. Not into it. I get it, though. I get why you're doing it. You kind of have to. All right, I'll get on to Attack on Titan 2. There was an interview with the developers and the people behind it and all that kind of shit. And truthfully, the only real takeaway from all this is that they're going to improve upon pretty much what they did with the first game. Because the first game, You know, they did say something that was a little suspicious. They did say they might dumb down the controls a little bit because some fucking people in their team said the controls were a little too difficult. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, motherfucker, because it's based on directional maneuvering gears that the Titan people use to fight them. The fuck? What the fuck do you expect? You expect that shit to be a one, but oh, I'm gonna go over here? No. No, it operates off a weird, it operates off physics that work for the game, the physics in the game. It operates off game physics that are a little wonky, but once you get used to them, it works. It's just a little combination of timing your presses and utilizing the stick in the right direction. It's not that hard. It's really not that hard. I don't know what these fucking people are talking about, but there is something that I will agree with. Koei Tecmo had said they received a lot of feedback mentioning that the Titans were too easy to kill, so improvements will be implemented to make the battles more complex and challenging. That I completely agree with, because that is completely true. Because what I was able to do was get my little rope thing, circle right behind them, spam the little speed dash, and then slash them right in the back of the neck. And I could just spam it, do it over and over and over and over again. It was fucking easy. There was no challenge to that game until I turned it on to really harder difficulties. And even then, it was hard, but I was still able to do it. Not with ease, but I was still able to do it. And you got to understand something, people. I suck at that game. I want you to know, I suck at that game. The only thing I got down toward the end was learning the maneuvering system well. And I think that kind of led into my ability to get better kills on the Titans. And so they also said that there's going to be improvements obviously the battles, and they're going to improve the base camp. The base camp's going to be bigger, like a small city, and there's going to be more storytelling elements as well. And now, yeah, I realize, people, this comes from Koei Tecmo. It's a very Japanese game, very Eastern game in their philosophy. And this is very much similar in its vein to how Koei Tecmo does this. They have a base camp where you could talk to people. You have the dialogue scenes. You have storyline elements. Even during the battle, you have these little breaks in the battle when you can run around, you can talk to people and get your boost and you're refilling your supplies and shit. So, I mean, the concept is not bad. The first attempt wasn't bad. I'll admit it. It wasn't bad. The second one, I think Koei Tecmo actually has a real opportunity to make improvements as long as they don't fuck up. And what I mean by fuck up, as long as they don't make the controls so easy a baby can fuck around with it. Don't make it easy. And what I mean by easy is don't make it super easy. Keep the fucking same controls you have with the omnidirectional shit. I didn't have a problem with it. Maybe other people might be, but I certainly didn't. Oh, there's also something more that I just read. I completely forgot to mention. There's going to be more destructible environments. So the visual aspect of that is going to be extremely improved for the next game, because the developers are like it. So that's going to be involved in the gameplay. So that's fine. So right now, from what I'm hearing, the game's okay. The game, like, the first Attack on Titan, I'll tell you right now, if I have to give you my thought on it, don't buy it unless you're aware of the series and you already kind of have an interest in the series. Because if you don't, you will not give two shits about this game. I promise you, you won't. It's just the truth. But if you're a fan of the anime and you play this game, you'll get what I'm talking about. The game's fine, and it does well, utilizing the accuracy of how I always thought those rope CO2 gas-powered rope omnidirectional rope pulley system would work. I mean, it operated as I thought it would. So that's why I'm suggesting that I didn't have a problem with it like other people might have. So for the second one, I hope they don't fuck that up and they just make the improvements that they're talking about. Because if they do that, I mean, they got a good opportunity just to make a successful sequel and just make some good money. And then Koei Tecmo can go inject their money in something else that's just 50 times as crazy. Because why wouldn't they? Let Japan be crazy. It's fun. Okay, people, I think that's it. We're going to get the fuck out of here. I told you guys I was only going to cover an hour today. It was just going to be a quick podcast. I had a lot of other shit going on today. So thank you very much for tuning in. Skynet does not become self-aware. I will see you next time. Later, people.